Home within the week. Good night.
The door slammed. Inmate 37 could not believe his ears. What kind of father leaves his son in this hellhole in order to teach him a lesson? Peter Solomon had even rejected an offer to clear Zachary's record. It was later that night, lying awake in his bunk, that inmate 37 had realized how he would free himself. If money was the only thing separating a prisoner from freedom, then inmate 37 was as good as free. Peter Solomon might not be willing to part with money, but as anyone who read the tabloids knew, his son, Zachary, had plenty of money too. The next day, inmate 37 spoke privately to the administrator and suggested a plan, a bold, ingenious scheme that would give them both exactly what they wanted. Zachary Solomon would have to die for this to work, explained inmate 37. But we could both disappear immediately. You could retire to the Greek islands. You would never see this place again. After some discussion, the two men shook hands. Soon, Zachary Solomon will be dead, inmate 37 thought, smiling to think how easy it would be. It was 2 days later that the State Department contacted the Solomon family with the horrific news. The prison snapshots showed their son's brutally bludgeoned body lying curled and lifeless on the floor of his prison cell. His head had been bashed in by a steel bar, and the rest of him was battered and twisted beyond what was humanly imaginable. He appeared to have been tortured and finally killed. The prime suspect was the prison administrator himself, who had disappeared, probably with all of the murdered boy's money. Zachary had signed papers moving his vast fortune into a private numbered account, which had been emptied immediately following his death. There was no telling where the money was now. Peter Solomon flew to Turkey on a private jet and returned with their son's casket, which they buried in the Solomon family cemetery. The prison administrator was never found, nor would he be, inmate 37 knew. The Turk's rotund body was now resting at the bottom of the Sea of Marmara, feeding the blue manna crabs that migrated in through the Bosporus Strait. The vast fortune belonging to Zachary Solomon had all been moved to an untraceable numbered account. Inmate 37 was a free man again, a free man with a massive fortune. The Greek islands were like heaven, the light, the water, the women. There was nothing money couldn't buy, new identities, new passports, new hope. He chose a Greek name, Andros Darios. Andros meaning warrior, and Darios meaning wealthy. The dark nights in prison had frightened him, and Andros vowed never to go back. He shaved off his shaggy hair and shunned the drug world entirely. He began life anew, exploring never before imagined sensual pleasures. The serenity of sailing alone on the ink-blue Aegean Sea became his new heroin trance. The sensuality of sucking moist Arnisouflakia right off the skewer became his new ecstasy. And the rush of cliff-diving into the foam-filled ravines of Mykonos became his new cocaine. I am reborn. Andros bought a sprawling villa on the island of Syros and settled in among the Bella Gente in the exclusive town of Positonia. This new world was a community not only of wealth, but of culture and physical perfection. His neighbors took great pride in their bodies and minds, and it was contagious. The newcomer suddenly found himself jogging on the beach, tanning his pale body and reading books. Andros read Homer's Odyssey, captivated by the images of powerful bronze men doing battle on these islands. The next day he began lifting weights and was amazed to see how quickly his chest and arms grew larger. Gradually, he began to feel women's eyes on him, and the admiration was intoxicating. He longed to grow stronger still, and he did. With the help of aggressive cycles of steroids intermixed with black market growth hormones and endless hours of weightlifting, Andros transformed himself into something he had never imagined he could be, a perfect male specimen. He grew in both height and musculature, developing flawless pectorals and massive sinewy legs, which he kept perfectly tanned. Everyone was looking now. As Andros had been warned, the heavy steroids and hormones changed not only his body, but also his voice box, giving him an eerie, breathy whisper, which made him feel more mysterious. The soft, enigmatic voice, combined with his new body, his wealth, and his refusal to speak about his mysterious past, served as catnip for the women who met him. They gave themselves willingly, and he satisfied them all, from fashion models visiting his island on photo shoots, to nubile American college girls on vacation, to the lonely wives of his neighbors, to the occasional young man. They could not get enough. I am a masterpiece. As the years passed, however, Andros's sexual adventures began to lose their thrill, as did everything. The island's sumptuous cuisine lost its taste, books no longer held his interest, and even the dazzling sunsets from his villa looked dull. How could this be? He was only in his mid-twenties, and yet he felt old. What more is there to life? He had sculpted his body into a masterpiece. He had educated himself and nourished his mind with culture. He had made his home in paradise, and he had the love of anyone he desired. And yet, incredibly, he felt as empty as he had in that Turkish prison. What is it I am missing? The answer had come to him several months later. Andros was sitting alone in his villa, absently surfing channels in the middle of the night, when he stumbled across a program about the secrets of Freemasonry. The show was poorly done, posing more questions than answers, and yet he found himself intrigued by the plethora of conspiracy theories surrounding the Brotherhood. The narrator described legend after legend. Freemasons and the New World Order. The Great Masonic Seal of the United States. The P2 Masonic Lodge. The Lost Secret of Freemasonry. The Masonic Pyramid. Andros sat up, startled. Pyramid. The narrator began recounting the story of a mysterious stone pyramid whose encrypted engraving promised to lead to lost wisdom and unfathomable power. The story, though seemingly implausible, sparked in him a distant memory, a faint recollection from a much darker time. Andros remembered what Zachary Solomon had heard from his father about a mysterious pyramid. Could it be? Andros strained to recall the details. When the show ended, he stepped out onto the balcony, letting the cool air clear his mind. He remembered more now, and as it all came back, he began to sense there might be some truth to this legend after all. And if so, then Zachary Solomon, although long dead, still had something to offer. What do I have to lose? 3 weeks later, his timing carefully planned, Andros stood in the frigid cold outside the conservatory of the Solomon's Potomac estate. Through the glass, he could see Peter Solomon chatting and laughing with his sister Catherine. It looks like they've had no trouble forgetting Zachary, he thought. Before he pulled the ski mask over his face, Andros took a hit of cocaine.